RNZ Pacific News, kia ora ana, I'm Seo Manu Te Vam Tā Whai. Lobbying to form Solomon Islands' next government is intensifying, with only four more seats in the 50-member parliament yet to be officially declared. There is no outright winner. Kuroi Hawkins is in Honiara.
As of yesterday, the two largest blocs in the winner's circle were independents and the incumbent Prime Minister Manase Songovare's Aua Party. These were tied with 12 MPs each. At this stage, it is next to impossible to predict the final form of the coalition government because MPs are not legally bound to political parties and can move freely between camps. At the last election in 2019, Aua Party did not even exist going into the polls, but was created by Mr. Songovare with the intention of pulling together the large number of independent MPs. In Solomon Islands, there is a stark disparity in both pay and benefits between government, opposition and independent MPs, which ups the stakes significantly.
Fiji's Ministry of Health and Medical Services is warning members of the public to be aware of the incorrect free medical insurance posts circulating on social media. The ministry says they appear to be an attempt to mislead the public. The ministry says it does not offer free medical insurance for people over 50, as stated in the incorrect posts. The Ministry of Health and Medical Services is working with the Department of Information and the Fiji Police Force Cybercrime Unit about the posts. The leader of Papua New Guinea has dismissed as a slip of the tongue a suggestion by President Biden that his long-lost uncle may have been eaten by cannibals there. James Marape said his country did not deserve to be labelled in such a way. At a memorial service for missing US service personnel last week, Mr. Biden said his relative had never been found after his plane came down over Papua New Guinea during the Second World War. He told reporters there were a lot of cannibals in the area. James Marape told reporters relations with Washington were strong. Then one blurry moment. A national cleaning campaign is underway in Samoa to address the nation's outbreak of dengue fever. Whenau Whanua reports.
Since November last year, there's been more than 200 cases confirmed, with the majority from Upolu. Cleaning will be carried out mostly in the northwestern part of Upolu. There will also be a fumigation campaign that will involve spraying of schools and hospitals to get rid of mosquitoes. The ministry is giving the campaign 2 weeks to make gains. If it doesn't, it'll work out a new strategy to be looked at.
A high-profile businessman in Hawaii has been arrested by US federal agents on charges of bribery. Hawaii News Now reports Dennis Mitsunanga and several affiliates are accused of paying Hawaii's former chief prosecutor more than $45,000 to prosecute one of his former employees. According to the indictment, the 82-year-old millionaire wanted a fired employee to be prosecuted. After that, employee filed a federal discrimination suit against Mr. Mitsunanga's company. In a statement, Mr. Mitsunanga's attorney says Mr. Mitsunanga's family is hopeful he will be home soon as he is 82 years old. A woman behind an education support organisation says the New Zealand government needs to acknowledge innovators in the education space. Lesieli Oliver says last year, 33% of Māori and 32% of Pasifika were attending school 90% of the time. She says they are also struggling with numeracy and literacy rates. Ms. Oliver says those with experience are able to create meaningful lessons.
And it is important that the government acknowledges innovators like myself, especially in the space of education, because we understand our people. We understand it from a cultural perspective. We understand it from the experience of being there, living in poverty, which is a lot of Māori Pasifika are. And so we're able to create culturally relevant learning content.
There were calls to scrap the gag clause in New Zealand law that prevents doctors from telling their patients about assisting dying. The End of Life Choice Act is being reviewed this year. ACT leader David Seymour, who was the architect of the legislation, says it's time for the rules to be relaxed. Our political editor Joe Moyer reports.
David Seymour also wants changes to the requirement that a terminally ill person must have 6 months or less to live to be eligible for assisted dying. Mr Seymour says the timeframe is cruel and he only agreed to it to secure the votes of the Green Party. Tina McCafferty from Totara Hospice agrees, saying a terminal prognosis is both an art and a science and doctors won't always get it right. The review doesn't guarantee any law change because the coalition is split on its views, meaning any recommendations will likely go through a member's bill.
New Zealand's Parliamentary Commissioner for the Environment has recommended sweeping changes to the government's new fast-track approvals bill. The bill, in its current form, gives three ministers the ability to greenlight roads, dams and mines, regardless of whether they come recommended by an independent panel. Simon Upton says ministers should not be the final decision makers, and rather than any project being eligible for fast track, he recommends limiting it to those that provide significant public benefits. The Auditor General has recommended the bill contain more requirements for managing conflicts of interest. In world news, the head of Israel's military intelligence has resigned over his role in failing to stop the Hamas attacks on October the 7th. Ahiran Haliva is the highest-ranking official to step down over the assault, in which 1,200 people were killed. Here's the BBC's Yolande Nall.
In his resignation letter, Major General Aharon Khalifa said that he took responsibility for the military intelligence failures that led up to the shocking Hamas attack. He said he'd carried the Black Day with him ever since. His departure is expected to be followed by further resignations among Israel's senior military and intelligence commanders. It may also add to the pressure on the veteran Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. Up to now, he's said only that he'll answer tough questions about his own role without acknowledging any responsibility.
Meanwhile, more than 40 pro-Palestinian demonstrators have been arrested at Yale University in the US state of Connecticut. Police say the protesters, who'd set up a makeshift camp last week, were twice warned against continuing their demonstration. In sport, more Pacific football players are set to have the opportunity to play junior grade Australian Football League, or AFL, in Queensland, Australia. This follows the Australian government and the AFL teaming up to enhance high-performance pathways for footballers across the Pacific region. The Pacific Oz Sports Program's new four-year partnership will find and develop players, coaches and umpires. Players will get to train and gain placement with the Gold Coast Suns and Brisbane Lions academies, where they will be exposed to high-level competition. The Black Ferns have announced five new players in their contract list for the upcoming season. Four players have also returned to the national side after missing last year due to injury, childbirth and non-selection. The newcomers are Atlanta Lolohea, Hannah King, Kalia Awa, Ma'ama Vaipulu and Maya Joseph. One full-time contract is still up for grabs. The Black Ferns open their season against the USA in Hamilton on May 11th. That's your latest RNZ Pacific news and sport. For more stories, head to rnzi.com.